All right. First of all, let's quickly get into our teaching, the one we began a few weeks ago. I'm talking about how to pray for a nation. If you have your Bibles, open to 1 Corinthians, the book of 1 Corinthians, the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 9. 1 Corinthians, chapter 9. Now, what I want to read, initially, it was talking about money and things like that. That's a ministry. The ministers were explaining some things. So you may initially wonder what that has to do with praying for the country. But I want to just bring out a point from it. Anyway, what Paul was trying to explain, all right, is that there are things that were their rights, but which they gave up, all right, for the purpose of expediting the preaching of the gospel. So he was now saying, let's start from verse 8. He said, I am not speaking these things according to human judgment, am I? That is, it is not a human idea. I have scriptural references. Does not the law also say these things? Verse 9 says, for it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing. God is not concerned about oxen, is he? That is, that's not his primary concern when he's giving those laws. Now, just to get a context in our minds, the idea those days was when you had to process your grain, you tend to have like a mill, all right? And then the mill, it moves around. Instead of having somebody driving it by hand, there were no machines, so they would tie the animal to it. So it's not like you are plowing. But this time around, you are not plowing, you are threshing. That is, the thing is being ground, all right? That's the kind of process. So God gave them a law under the old covenant. You must not put, not to muzzle, close the mouth, put something to guard the mouth of the animal while it is walking. So the concept is that as the animal is walking, it's green. You understand? It's green. It's allowed to eat while it's walking. That was a commandment in the law. So he said, and I don't know why I'm explaining that. That's not part of my teaching. Just wanted to get that make it clear for people. He said, God is not primarily concerned about oxen. He was saying, verse 10 now says, or is he speaking altogether for our sake? Yes. For our sake, it was written. Because, now this is where my message is. Because the plowman ought to plow in hope, and the thresher to thresh in hope of sharing the crops. He said, if we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? He said, if others share the right over you, do we not more? Nevertheless, we did not use this right, for we endure all things, so that we will cause no hindrance to the gospel of Christ. Like I said, I'm not talking about money and stuff like that. There's a concept that I just want to bring out. He said that the plowman, that's verse 10, the second part of it. He said the plowman ought to plow in hope, and the thresher to thresh in hope of sharing the crops. My emphasis here is the word hope. He said that if somebody is making, if he's engaging a kind of labor, he should have an expectation concerning what that thing is going to produce, all right, for him or for her. That is, if I'm engaging in a business, I should have an expectation of what profits will come at the end of the day. Paul was explaining here that he was talking about the role of ministers in the work of God, in the lives of the people of God. That if I minister material things to you, I should expect. See, well, that's the emphasis. I should have an expectation. The word hope in the scriptures, all right, is not a wish. I need to emphasize that. The word hope in the Bible is not a wish. You know, that's a mistake people make a lot of times when they explain the word faith. The Bible says, and we're going to refer to it in a moment, that faith is a substance of, again, Hebrews chapter 11, is a substance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. So when people want to explain it, they say, when you have a hope, all right, you get faith to give it substance. It is a mistake that, in fact, I'm not sure I've heard more than one or two preachers see the other way around, you understand? They say that faith, that hope is first, then you get faith to give it substance. But that's not actually what Paul said. The Bible was saying that faith is the substance of hope. That is, if you see hope, it is because there was faith that created it. That is, there is no hope without faith. That is, the substance, the materiality, the thing that makes hope real, is the faith that is inside. It is not as if you have hope and then you will now go and get faith to support it. When we say that, what we are making, the mistake we are making, is that we think that it's an English, modern English word, wish. All right, which is what we use as hope. Like, okay, when do you expect to be there? Maybe in 5 hours. We hope so. Are you getting my point? We hope so means that that is our desire. That is our wish. That is what we love to happen. But hope in the Bible, the correct word for hope is expectation. In fact, read the Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. Use the expression firm expectation. That is, if I have a hope, that means I'm expecting something. I need to emphasize that to us again. It's very, very important. So why do I expect something? It is because I have what? Faith in the evidence that I have. For example, if I tell you that maybe I call, all right? Maybe I'm in the office. And you say, when will you get here? And I said, okay, give me 25 minutes, I'll be here. There is a reason why it says 25 minutes. If I was going to trek from Ituku, which is like from this particular point, it's almost 30 kilometers. If I was going to trek from there, I would not tell you, give me 25 minutes, except I'm planning to call Philip to tell me how he connected with the Holy Spirit. That, you understand my point? That moved him to Azotus after preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch. If I don't have that expectation, and I'm supposed to walk, maybe it was before the days of motor cars, and I did not have a horse. But we had a phone. No, funny, it would have been very funny anyway. We had a phone. And I said, look, give me, I won't tell you 30 minutes. What I'll tell you is that, don't worry, continue before the end of the day. Do you understand my point? And we are talking in the morning. Why? It's not because I don't want to get to you. It is because I recognize that 30 kilometers walking is some distance. All right? Even if you give it to a Haile Gebrselassie to run it, he will need at least an hour and a half to do that. And I'm not planning to run like Haile Gebrselassie. I will tell you, look, okay, over the next 5 hours, we should be there. That is what they call an expectation. It is based on evidence. It is based on experience. It is based on the trust you have in the things that you are having to deal with. That is what hope is. Do you understand my point? That's the way it is. It's an expectation. It has nothing to do with your desire. That's not the primary thing. All right? It's what you have calculated. You understand the point. Now, that's just the way it is. So, but we often make the mistake as Christians. We say that, okay, well, we have hope. We have the wish. We now look for faith to substantiate it. No. It is that when we have believed something, it creates a hope. Please, you are following what I'm trying to say. For us Christians, the word of God is first. Our faith is second. Faith acting upon that word creates an expectation. If you haven't, please go and read out my tract again. This is faith. Yes. And then the book, He That Believes, I explained that thing inside. That is, your faith must create an expectation for you. Otherwise, it's not genuine. Now, please bear that in mind. I needed to bear that in mind, all right? Because I know what we're talking about. So why did I read this? Paul now said that if a plowman is working, if a laborer is working, all right, if he's threshing, he should have an expectation. What I'm bringing up from there is a principle concerning praying for a country. Remember, we started by explaining the fact that it is work, if you remember that, that is labor. First day, I explained the fact that there are different kinds of prayer. There is prayer that's just to meet my own needs, all right, to satisfy the things that I require. That's one. But whatever kind of prayer we're engaged in, there are some of them that God sees as labor. And in the book, How to Work for God, I explained it, that prayer is work. If I take the matter of a country, all right, which we're teaching about now, right, and I pray about it, even if it's not directly benefiting me, all right, assuming that I'm an old man and the things I'm asking for, okay, it may not even happen in my generation. But the fact that I'm praying about it is important to God, and therefore we'll say that I'm working for God. Even though the prayer, for example, now let's assume that we are praying for the crisis, which is mostly in Maiduguri. We are praying about it. Assuming I don't know anybody there, I don't live there, but because I'm a Nigerian, I'm so connected to what is going on there. There's no direct benefit to my person. Are you getting my point? So I do those things, and they are seen as what? Work. So it's a plowman that is what? Plowing. I'm working. It's a thresher that is threshing. I'm a laborer that is laboring. Okay? But Paul was explaining here in this portion of the Bible that he must labor in what? Hope. He must have an expectation. That's what I'm talking about today. The last time we spoke about the salt of the earth, remember that? And one of the statements I made is that if you don't count before God, your prayers don't count when you are praying for a country. What do we mean by that? We said that when God was coming to Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, after negotiating with Abraham, that we're going to count how many people? 50. And then it went down to 10. And I explained the fact that if God had found 10 people in that place, he would not have destroyed the place. And those people, according to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, those people will have been called the salt of Sodom and the salt of Gomorrah. That is, the reason why God did not destroy the place was because of them. They are not the light of the place, a different matter. That is, when God came, he was counting, who are those that will excuse themselves from the evil that is going on in this land? Who are the people that will refuse to participate? Who will be, like the Bible described Lot, as a righteous man whose soul is being grieved day and night, all right? Because of the evil that they are doing. Those are the people that God came to count. He came to count those who is not safe. I mean, who won't behave like everybody is behaving. Who will say, there is nothing, this is government work. You get my point? I mean, just get the most you can out of it, and it's not your father's business. Now, those are the things that bring, that's what the Bible calls iniquity. When God wants to count, he counts those who will not say that, and who will not behave like that. We explain that. Now, so, it's those people that when God has counted, say, okay, for their sake, let us leave this place. I said that God will always destroy a place if he cannot find an excuse to leave it standing. So I said, if you are not countable, you know, you're not by countable now. If God cannot count you when it comes to a city that he wants to spare, don't bother praying. Your prayer is not important. It doesn't count. It doesn't count. It doesn't count. So, you know, for Christians, therefore, all right, our primary assignment in this prayer thing that I'm trying to bring out is not just about speaking. It's making sure that we can be heard. You know what I mean by we can be heard? It's the effectual, fervent prayer of who? Of who? Of who? That is, it is not just anybody. It's not the length of prayer. It is not how long we pray, but who is the person that is uttering words that is important. So for us as believers, we must make sure we are people who can pray for the country. I'm saying to you again, if you go to the office and do the orukuruku, you know the English. You know the meaning of orukuruku in Queen's English. Yeah. All right? And you do the orukuruku that everybody is doing there. Next time they call prayer meeting for the nation, don't go. Don't bother. Unless you want to arrive, first of all, with repentance in your heart. That's the way it is. The thing that you must start with is what? Repentance. The people who are participating in iniquity, all right, cannot effectively pray for the nation. They can't. All right? They just can't. That's just the way it is. They can't. So the first thing we do as believers is to ensure that we have come out from amongst them and we are what? Separate. Very important. God doesn't require everybody. He doesn't expect the whole of the country to change and be righteous and normal and good people before he can bless the nation. Don't worry about that. He doesn't require it. He's just saying that if my own people that are there, all right, not everybody, my own people that are called by my name, there are people there that are not called by my name, all right? There are Guru Maharajis there, you know, there are Hare Krishna people there. That's not the problem. But the people that are called by my name are the ones I'm counting. If they will humble themselves and pray and turn from their own wicked ways, it's a very, very important principle. So don't expect the whole, don't expect PDP to suddenly appoint a senior pastor as their national, is it chairman? And I say, who's their national vice chairman? East. You mention one man of God. Who's their national treasurer? You mention one accountant of impeccable, you know. No, don't worry. While an allergy that has six wives and two underage wives, you understand my point, is their national chairman, we can still prosper. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
It does not make any difference. What is important is that the people that are called by his name, all right, in the nation, if they do what they are supposed to do, don't worry. The other people are not. The gates of hell cannot prevail. You understand that point? Now, what I'm bringing in again as a third point today, we made those points before, so that's what we made last time about the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth. The point I'm bringing out today is that the plowman, the laborer must labor in what? Hope. He must have an expectation. And that is something that is very, 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 you know, that's something that is lacking today. Let me explain that. Now, listen, if you want to pray, this one is as important as the other ones. It's as important as the things we have been explaining before, all right? Now, you know, I was with one of our friends. Okay, you saw them on Saturday. They came from Lagos to spend the Easter weekend with us. So we're discussing, you know, we've been together for a very long time. I mean, I used to go to church those days in Lagos in 97, all right? People have known for a while. So, you know, people have grown. You start chatting, where is this person? Where is this person? Where is this person? One of the things I see a lot of times now, please, try and listen to me carefully. I'm not saying it is bad. I'm not saying it is good. I'm just saying it happened. Okay, I drank a cup of water before coming here. Is it bad or good? It's just, okay, water is good. Okay, I parked on one side of the building. It's not bad. It's not good. It's just I packed. Is that okay? Uh-huh. All right. So what I want to first say is just like that. So don't say the pastor is saying it is bad or it is good. But this happens. A man marries. He and his wife, they are living in Nigeria. All right. Then they have children. And then one day you say, okay, wait, madam. Madam and children are now living in UK. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. You can live anywhere. If you like, live in Australia. Botswana is a good country to live in. Malawi, Burundi, Rwanda, Angola, Cayman Islands, anywhere you like. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Anywhere you like, live in. I have no problem with it. Some of my best friends in the world, they live in the United States. And I'm always dreaming, when will I have time? When will I, when will everything just be appropriate to go and stay with them for a while? It's beautiful staying with them, all right? And I mean it like that. But you get my point. What I'm trying to say is that if David Livingstone didn't come to Africa, things would have been different. If those people didn't come with the gospel, so it is good to go everywhere preaching the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
If you believe, you say amen.
Amen.
If you are planning to buy a house in Australia, just in case you want to travel, say amen. Okay, half of you are not agreeing with Australia. Okay, what about UK? You want to buy a house in France? Just for the sake of traveling without having to check into hotels? May you prosper to their life in Jesus' name. Okay, buy it, keep it. When I want to go for holiday, you give me the key. I'll return it when I come back home. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So I'm trying to emphasize by all of this that there's no problem with it. Okay, that's what I'm trying to say. But this is what I question. You know, remember I started by saying that I could have parked on the right of the building or the left of this building. Doesn't matter. It just it happened that I parked somewhere. In the same manner, it happened that somebody is living somewhere. But what the question I ask a lot of times is this. This is where I'm going. Why would I take my wife and my lovely children, my lovely wife first, my lovely children, who I all love all of them so much, I miss them so much. If they disappear, normally it takes me like a week to miss my children, a whole week. Takes a week. I usually miss my wife after about 36 hours. Yeah, depending, you know, it's an average. You know, sometimes it's 2 hours. But you know, if you are very busy, very, very busy, when you just reach home, you just wake up at night, realize you are all alone. Then Jesus will not say, don't worry, you are not alone. I am with you. Now, so I will not take that kind of person and be seeing her 3 times in a year. 4 times in a year. You know, my friend who lives in Houston, Chooks, when he was going to the U.S., I drove them to the airport. He said, you know, I've always said that nobody's giving my wife visa without giving me. Nobody's giving me visa without giving my wife. Because I said, he can't understand this. God has joined together, Eli shall put her son, that he can't understand it. That was his principle. So the day he was moving to the U.S., he moved his wife and his 2 children, all of them boarded his flight and went together. He said, look, this is how I've always believed it should be. And it is to you according to your faith. That's what happened to him. So when I see people do things like that, I question, you know, my friends that came from Lagos were discussing that. Was it yesterday night? Yes. You know, we're just taking a drive around and we're discussing it. Something like that happened. And I said, wait, oh. He said, this person, the husband was around. I said, around? How can I be visiting my wife? I don't know whether you're getting my point. He said, where are you? I went to visit my wife. I smoked something. Do you know what I'm saying? I went to visit my wife. My mother can come and visit me. But I can't go and visit my wife now. It's not good. God said, looked at it at the beginning. He realized that Adam was, so he said, it's not good. Do you understand my point? Yeah. For this guy to be alone, now you're not telling me. But this guy, okay, how are you? I went to go and see my wife. She goes to school? No. But you understand what I'm saying? I usually wonder how people manage. That's what I'm trying to explain. Everybody has his own gift from God. Get some kind gift where God didn't give you. And when they were sharing it out, I dodged. You know that kind of thing? Just tell the guy next to you, say, take, they are sharing it. You can have my portion. Double portion is your own. See your wife once in 2 years. Fine. It's all right. I did not ask for that kind of gift. I didn't collect it. Now, again, like I said, there are times that things like that happen for very important reasons. I'm not disparaging that at all. It may happen. What I'm trying to bring out is this. Sometimes when you talk to people, why do they behave like that? Let me tell you something about faith. I listened to W.F. Kumuyi many years ago. He was giving a number of points about faith. One of the ones I remember, in fact, the only one I remember the least, was I said, faith risks. Did you hear what I said? That if faith must take a risk. It must take a risk. There's a book that Tinka gave me titled The Book That Created Your World. What's the name of that book? How the Bible Created Modern Civilization. Something like that. The man described, now listen to this. The man described how he left. Now this is going to shock you a bit, alright? It was from a prosperous family, Christian family in India. But he left the city and went into the rural other areas to go and work with the poor. The problem with India, because of their Hindu culture, is that they don't even if they desire to help the poor, the Hindu theology is that you can't help them, they're untouchable. You are polluting your own caste, your sect, if you move too close to those people. But the Christians don't mind. So he went, and so that's why in a cycle of poverty, intense poverty. In fact, there was one he said he was handling, when he first started. He saw a man whose daughter was sick. He said, let me take this girl to hospital. In fact, he asked the girl, how many are you in the family? He said, I have one brother. You know, it's something like, I have one brother, and very soon I'll be the only sister, the only girl. He said, what do you mean? He said, my little sister is sick. She will soon die. So he investigated and found that the girl was in the house, very sick. Take her to hospital. No. Why? I can't afford it. Okay, I'll give you the money. He said, no. If you give me the money, who will be on my farm? I'll pay somebody to be on your farm while you go to hospital. They still refused until he threatened to call the police. Let me make a long story short. He went to hospital. The girl became well, came back home, became sick again. Let's make a long story short. They were trying to have the girl die anyway. Because he said, you can judge them. You're coming from the West. You have come from prosperity. He said, but if you look at it critically, those guys are not worse than average people. In fact, they are better than Americans who abort their pregnancies regularly. Because the girl is a girl who's going to grow up to be a woman. You know, girls usually grow up to be women, right? Is that not so? Yes. You know, this modern day, now you have to clarify that people know what you are talking about. Because in some countries, I saw one Olympic gold medalist that grew up to be a man, and he was a girl. Olympic gold medalist. When they woke up, it was a woman when he did Olympics. Then one day, hey, don't turn out to be a man. Anyway, the point is that when she becomes a woman, she has to be married off. And in India, the women pay the dowry. And it's in cheap. And she's a very, very, they are very poor people. So they are spending themselves all the hassle. Die now. Now, that just lets you know the kind of work this man was getting involved in. Let me try and stay on my message, okay? Now, so this was where he was working. And then one day he wanted to travel. Now, of course, you think that people will applaud him, all right, and love him. Now, like, it was persecution. They wanted to literally kill him for helping the poor. Imagine people ganging up on Mother Teresa. You are getting my point? That this woman, let's kill her. It was something like that. And he was in the, you know, deep inside villages, no police to help him, though they have a police force around, but they wouldn't do anything. They are part of your enemies. So one day he and his wife traveled, they went abroad. While they were gone, his father and his mother agreed to come and stay at home and continue the work while they were gone. One day, while he was gone, these people came in, beat his mother, beat his father, and were about to gouge out the man's eyes. When he pleaded with them and promised that he would go and empty his retirement savings account and pay them the next day if they leave his eyes alone. An old man. So they left his eyes alone. He said, a man of his word. Next day, he went to the bank, gathered all the money he could, dropped it off for them somewhere where they had agreed. Now listen to this. I'm talking about faith. Faith taking risk. And then he returned in the midst of all of this. These hoodlums had really, really attacked him in his absence. He was back, let's take Nigeria now, in Lagos, you know. What's their own capital city? Okay, he was back in either New Delhi or Mumbai, or somewhere, but ready to go back to the village. So the issue is that don't go. You know that kind of thing. It's really too risky. So he said he thought about it and prayed about it. So he said he was going to go. What about his wife? Now that's where the problem is now. Will your wife come along? He thought about it also and decided to leave the decision to his wife. So his wife took some time and prayed and said simply, I am going to come. That after, he said, look, at the time we have that have to leave this Christian life totally or not leave it at all. This woman packed her load, followed her husband back into the valley of the shadow of death. Now listen to this. He said that, now, you understand what I'm saying now? She followed her husband back into the center of this crisis. But something happened. What they did not know was that there were certain people that had come from, I think, US, who had heard of his work. I think one or two women also, who arrived at the same time. They didn't talk to them, but they were planning to join them in the mission work. And one of them had said that, okay. So they told them about the problems, the risk, especially to the women. Do you understand? You hear what happened the other day in India, how some people raped and beat one girl until she died with all the surgery that doctors did on her. The kind of thing they do, I mean, you were telling me the story now, all right? There are crazy people all over the world. They are more than average in India. There are plenty. That's where they were going to go to. And this woman said she will go. So these Americans had come to help without telling them anything. And what they did not know was that American woman, when she had the whole problems, had hinged her own decision on one thing. And guess what that was? He said that if that guy's wife goes back with him, she will go. I don't know what I heard that. Yes, sir. They didn't know she was doing that. They just said, if this guy's wife goes back with him, she will go. So when they found out that his wife was going back with him, all of them packed and went. And when the hoodlums found out that the Americans had come, they ran. Because they said, if we touch any one of them, this will become an international problem. I don't know whether you get the point. So that's how God arranged protection for them. Because so when they got there, there was no problem anymore. Why? Because the societal criminals had looked and said, Americans are looking for how to cause trouble. They will send some of their people here. If we touch these people now, they will come. You know the way people fear Americans. You know in the Bible it said that he's looking for how to bring, you know, remember when, what's the name of the Syrian king? Naaman. What's the name of the Syrian king now? When they sent Naaman to meet the king of Israel, that healed Naaman of his leprosy. You know what that guy said? He's looking for how to cause trouble. He's telling me to heal a man of his sickness. Am I God? So that was what they thought, that if we touch these people, you know, that's how God arranged protection for them. No soldiers, no armies, no police, just one frail American woman. Joined. But that woman came because his wife came. And his wife came because she said, I do not love my life even unto death. W.F. Kumi said in that message, he said, faith does what? It takes risks. Now, back to what we're saying. Sometimes when people ask me that, when we're discussing those things, and I say, why are you doing this? Say, I want a future for my children. That's where I'm going. I want a future for my children. Where's the future for your children? So, to give my children a future, remember I started by saying that if you park on the side of this building, it's as you like it. If you park on the other side, it's as you like it. I'm not trying to tell you that you parked wrongly. Did I say so? It's your life, not mine. That how do I give my children a future? I will take this my wife that I must see regularly. And say, go and stay with my children, and I'll be seeing you guys 3 times in a year at great expense. If I was traveling every weekend, maybe I would have said, okay, but then I am not that rich, I'm too busy. I'll see you guys every quarter. Sometimes twice a year. I'll come stay 3 weeks, visit you guys. Why? The why is my issue now. The why is my issue. This interesting part. Only rich Nigerians did this. I don't know why I heard what I said. No, you didn't get it. Only rich people did this thing. If you can buy 4 flight tickets a year to Europe and America, you can eat well. Think about it. Now, why are you looking like you don't understand how much they sell flight tickets? Okay, I'll give you the price. If you go summertime to US, almost 300,000 naira. Yes. If you go when nobody wants to go, they'll give you a ticket for 200K.
Remember,
it's economy class. So you go sit like this. For 11 hours. Are you getting my point? If you want to go properly, praise the Lord. It's $1 million per trip, okay? Now, only people who can afford things do this kind of thing. But the question now is this. Why? That's what I'm trying to explain. Why? I want to give my children a future. And it's funny. You are the one that can go to Covenant University. No, Covenant is cheap now, isn't it? Babcock. Now, these are people that can afford them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay? Then you will say, no, let me go and keep them somewhere. Why? I want to give them a future. I want to give them a chance in life. I was reading Mike Murdock. Somebody was quoting him, or I wrote a quote somewhere before. Mike Murdock said, parents hardly give the children what matters, what's most important in life, what made them what they are. I don't know what I hear what I said. That parents hardly give it to their children. What do? They say, no, my child should not suffer. So before the guy asks for something, he gets two of it. Can I have PSP? He gets PSP, PS3, PS4, Nintendo Wii. You understand my point? I like to go to the U.S. He goes to the U.S., Switzerland, Canada, you know, go all over the place. Why? My child must not suffer. So the guy grows up believing that there's no suffering in life. And when daddy is not there, he can't cope with life. The very thing that made daddy what daddy is, the boy can't, he doesn't have that substance. So the wealth does not pass one generation. People do that. God blesses him, man, uses the money to ruin the life of the future generation. Why? By removing the thing. Do you understand my point? My child shouldn't sweep. You know, shouldn't suffer. Can't trek anywhere. Wait. Why? Because I have money. So I should ensure that they don't have the resilience. Because you don't train muscles lying down. You know that? You can't say, I want to build my muscle, go and lie down in bed. What you get is what we call disuse atrophy. That yes, when you don't use it, it becomes smaller. So you want the guys to be tough, they have to face tough things. That is why as soon as I had the opportunity, I was Felix that helped me train Akinlu how to come back home with bus. My son comes back home with bus, you go bus, you know, bus stop. Stop. My friend in Lagos, he said, like, yeah, and his wife, we discussed that one. Say, this year must enter Mulwe. They must enter Mulwe. That is why won't they enter Mulwe? That is going to take them on a training course, you know. When you get to bus station, this is how to run, this is how to grab the thing. This is. How can you deceive these children into thinking every car is air conditioned? A lot of children think every car is air conditioned. One day we went home. My wife came, my daughter came into the room where I was. I was with my mom. Where's mommy? She's not here. So she left. Then came back. She said, daddy, how come this house does not have upstairs? Do you get that? I realized my daughter has never lived in a house that doesn't have upstairs. You understand? Always lived in duplexes. So when they went to go and see my mother, and that one is a bungalow. The girl looked at, how come this one doesn't have upstairs? Because she wanted to go upstairs to go and look for mommy. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, please, let me try and say what I want to say quick. I know you are following me. I know you are getting what I'm making, all right? So, why did they do that? People who can't afford it, we said, no, I want to give my children a future. So you go through a lot of stress. You see, when we talk about love of something, or when we talk about faith, how you know where your heart really is the amount of effort you are willing to put in for something. You are getting what I'm going to explain? I mean, assuming that I'm a single man, all right, you want to know which lady I love, this is how you need to do, what you need to do. Just separate them with distance. The one that says, will you come to Nicha? Come and say, oh, Nicha, do you know how far it is? Then one comes to call from Meduguri. I'll be coming back next week. You come and escort me, no problem. I should be able to get it, but just get it, man, you know? If you know, you get to my point. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? You will know that this is the one. All these other ones are church sisters. Do you understand? The one that God is speaking to him about, now the one way he won't go escort from Meduguri. Come back. She could have come by herself, or no. The guy will go to Meduguri just to go and help her carry her hand back. They will come back together. You see, that's what love is. It's not the plenty talk, you know. It's not the plenty talk. It's what you are willing to, you know, suffer for something. That's how you know the amount of love you have for that thing. That's what I'm trying to explain. I'm bringing an issue here. So, if I will go through a lot of distress, see my wife only 3 times in a year, it shows the amount of faith I have in the action I am taking. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Yeah, that's what it shows. That is what it shows. And that's the point I'm making about the plowman plowing in hope. With an expectation. When my wife was going to deliver then, my mother-in-law asked her that whether she would go and visit her sister who lives abroad so that she will have her baby there, you know the way it is. And most people have thought it a privilege, you know, something to, you know, jump for. My wife also thought so, that it would be a nice time, opportunity to travel. That would be her first time of going to, I think it was, that's the UK. So now I ask a simple question. Say, when will I come back? My mother said, well, how many months later? Maybe like 2 months, then you will come back. My wife said, my husband will not see his child for 2 months. My mother-in-law was looking like, so what is wrong with that? My wife just said, "Ben, forget the idea." I remember she said that you people are strange. Yes, that is. Her own is that, so this man not going to see this speaking for 8 complete weeks is not the will of God. That's not the will of God. That is, now if you know something, which passport the child will carry was not discussed. I don't know what I get my point. This issue of it will be an opportunity for your child to be a UK citizen. It was not a topic. I won't lie to you. This is exactly what happened. That was the drop the idea. If I can come back after 2 weeks, okay, I will think about it. So let me just go and flinch. But say I go sit down, cool my heels, 2 whole months. I go, in fact, and that time there was no WhatsApp.